Good morning. This is Reverend Bob McLavy of the Presbyterian Church of Floyd, and thank you for joining us during this season of Lent as we have a message out of God's Word, and we have beautiful music and a time of worship this morning as we enter in to a message from Jesus Himself. But before we begin, let us have a word of prayer. So let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you have come to inspire each of us. We thank you for sending your Spirit to be a part of our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the Easter story as we now approach the glorious day of Easter Sunday, when we will celebrate your resurrection. So we thank you, Lord, for the way that you have entered into our lives and how you inspire us each and every day. We pray now that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, this morning we're going to have a message, and then Alan Vest once again has prepared a song for us called He is Our Peace, a beautiful song that you will enjoy. But my message this morning I have entitled The Good Shepherd. As I have said in the past several weeks, during Lent, I'm trying to find specific passages out of Scripture that exemplify the true teaching of Jesus Himself. And so this is one of Jesus' messages to the people at that time, but it is so perfect for us today. So it is called The Good Shepherd. It comes from the Gospel of John, Chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. So hear now the word of Jesus Himself. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of the Lord. Well, the last few chapters of John, of the Gospel of John, record conversations between Jesus and all sorts of people who are trying to figure out who he is. Some people, especially those who have been healed by his miracles or transformed by his teaching, believe that Jesus is from God, maybe even the Messiah. Other people, though, have remained skeptical. Some are suggesting that he's a fraud. Religious leaders are becoming alarmed. But in addition to the believers on the one hand and the skeptics on the other, there are a whole bunch of people in the middle. People in the crowd who, to this point, don't really know what to think about this mysterious rabbi from Nazareth. All of this is to say that the dominating question at this point in John's Gospel is this question: who is this man Jesus? Who is this miracle worker who teaches with such authority? Is he from God? Is he God? Can we trust him? Should we follow him? Where will he lead us if we do? And what will he ask of us? When you stop and think about it, they're the sorts of questions that we're still asking today. Who is this man Jesus, and what would it mean to give your life to follow him? 2,000 years have passed, and we still haven't all agreed on the answer to that question. Jesus was born in an obscure village, born to a peasant woman. He was a poor carpenter most of his life, and an itinerant preacher for about 3 years. He never wrote a book, never held an office, never had a family, never went to college. In fact, he never traveled more than 200 miles from his birthplace. So he had no credentials but himself. And here's what's so puzzling. How is it possible that this one life, which was lived in obscurity and ended in agony and suffering, how has this one life seen its legacy grow to the point where now Jesus is, without question, history's most familiar and influential figure, the centerpiece of the human race, and the leader of a movement of human progress? John Ortberg is a current pastor and author. Many of you may know of John Ortberg. He wrote a book entitled, "Who is This Man?" And in that book, Ortberg points out that you can't look at a map without seeing Jesus' influence. Cities around the world have been named after him or his followers. Cathedrals have been built worldwide as places to worship him. And just look at a calendar and you see Jesus' influence. The year 2021 reflects the number of years since Jesus' birth. We live in 2021 AD. The AD means Anno Domini, which is the Latin words for the year of our Lord. And we know that the years prior to Jesus' birth are denoted as BC, before Christ. His life is the very dividing line of human history. In our scripture passage this morning, when Jesus looks out at people, what is it he sees? Well, apparently he sees a flock of sheep. It's not just in this passage. Read through the Gospels and you'll find that Jesus is always calling us sheep or comparing us to a flock. Now, we may not know what to make of that in our day. We may not know enough about sheep to get Jesus' point. But people in Jesus' day knew exactly what he meant. Sheep were integral to ancient Jewish society. Everybody knew what it meant to be compared to a sheep. The dominant characteristic of a sheep is dependence. They are helpless. They are dependent, easily frightened, and forever getting lost. And like it or not, Jesus says that we, all of us, are like sheep. So I guess this means, in many ways, we're helpless. We're dependent. We're easily frightened, and we're forever getting lost. Yes, I have to confess. Now, in Jesus' day, some sheep had it good. Let me describe for you the good life for a sheep. Fortunate sheep had a shepherd, a caretaker who would spend all his time with the flock. And since sheep in those days were used primarily for their wool, shepherds often spent years with the same animals. That meant that they came to know their sheep well. They even grew to have affection for each animal, giving them each a name. And the sheep, in turn, knew the voice of the shepherd and would come immediately whenever they were called. They felt comfortable when they heard that shepherd's voice. They knew it was someone they could trust. During the day, the shepherds would lead their flocks to good pastures, guiding them to nourishment and standing guard to protect them from predators. At night, the shepherd would then lead his flock into a sheep pen or a sheep fold, where the animals would be protected from predators or thieves. If they were out in the countryside, this pen was nothing more than a crude circle of rocks piled up with an opening on one side. And since these pens had no gate to block off the entrance, it was common for the shepherd to lay down and sleep at night in the opening to keep the sheep from wandering off and to keep predators and thieves from coming in. So the shepherd himself became the gate. Now, a sheep who found itself under the care of such a shepherd was an animal who, in sheep terms, was living the good life. That sheep was cared for at all times, protected at all times, provided for at all times, and it was known by the shepherd at all times. So with all of this in mind, let's turn back again to the parable that Jesus tells here. speaking to a crowd of people still trying to figure out exactly who this man is, Jesus paints this picture. "You are like sheep," he says, "helpless and dependent. We live in a world full of enemies who would like to harm us, enemies against whom we have no adequate defense. The wolves and thieves, which Jesus mentions, are meant to symbolize our enemies, sin and evil, forces in the world that would lead us away from a life of love and righteousness. We can run from these enemies, but we cannot hide. Alone, we cannot protect ourselves." "But wait," Jesus says, "all is not lost, for there is a shepherd, a good shepherd. When he comes, he calls out for us to follow him, to go with him out into the world. And when he calls, we know his voice. Somehow, it is familiar to us. It's not like the voices of the others who come for us. We don't recognize their voices. But the shepherd's voice we know. He calls us each by name. He speaks as if he knows us. His voice sounds as if it can be trusted." Let's read once again John 10, verses 7 through 10 here. It says, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.'" Ah, that makes a whole lot more sense to us now, doesn't it? In Jesus' day, the sheep gate was absolutely central to ensuring the good life for the sheep. Sheep could not stay forever in the sheep pen. They would starve to death in there. And neither could the sheep stay forever out in the pasture, because they would be attacked by predators. And therefore, the good life for a sheep depended on its constant coming and going through the sheep gate, from pasture to pen, from provision to protection, always through the sheep gate. So do you see what Jesus is saying here? He says, "I am the gate for the sheep." Life, in all its intended fullness, comes to us through Jesus. Apart from him, we are utterly helpless against those in this world who would seek to do us harm, who come only to kill and destroy. Through Christ, however, we find protection and we find provision. Through Christ, we find salvation, we find security, we find satisfaction. It is through Jesus that we find what he called abundant life. This is more life and better life than you and I ever dreamed possible. We are so familiar with that beautiful psalm, the 23rd psalm. It speaks vividly about this abundant life. In using stunning imagery, the psalmist reminds us that this is life where we lie in green pastures and beside still waters. Life where our souls are restored. Life where we stay forever on the right path. Life where we fear no evil, even when we are led through the valley of the shadow of death. This is life with a good shepherd who is always with us, protecting and comforting us with his rod and staff, preparing banquet tables before us in the presence of our enemies, anointing our heads with the oil of blessing, filling our cups to overflowing. This is a life where goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, a life where we get to go home in the end to the house of our shepherd and live there with him forever. Are you beginning to see how Jesus answers the question, who is this man? Who am I? Jesus asks. I am the gate through which the life you have always desired, the life for which you were made, the life which I came to give you, is found. If you come through me, you will find that life. So during this season of Lent, I hope everyone who is seeking to better understand Jesus' teaching has also come to understand who he is. Jesus, Lord, Savior, and friend. Hallelujah and Amen. And now, with that in mind, friends, let us enjoy this beautiful song arranged and performed by Alan Vest. He is our peace. That was beautiful. Thank you to Alan Vest for his faithfulness each week. And friends, as we face this coming week ahead, let us remember these words of Jesus himself. He said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." What a beautiful thought for the week ahead. Thank you for listening.